Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great." I have never heard God's voice. I've never heard a voice from heaven. I've sort of experienced direction in my life, but I personally have never heard the voice of God. I long to hear the voice of God. "Do not be afraid, Jennifer. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great." You know, I don't even need the second part. I mean, I don't need the "your reward will be very great" part. I need to hear, "Be not afraid, Jennifer, I am your shield." I think that would be a reward, hearing that voice remind me of that promise. I haven't actually had a vision of the Lord as Abram gets in our text today. I haven't had the Lord speak to me, but the Lord does speak to you and me through Scripture every time we open it. This week, through Abram's conversation with God, we get to hear God remind him that when God makes a promise, it is kept. We get to hear God and Abram have an important conversation about doubt and faith. I wish I were a storyteller. I mean a real storyteller. I mean the kind who can take you on a journey with their words. You know those people. Describing vividly the things that are happening and then moving forward smoothly through the story with no notes in front of me. Oh, I would love to be that kind of storyteller. You know, Pastor Mary at Lutheridge, if you've been there, she's a storyteller. My dad is a storyteller, and I think Pastor Sue Gamlin was probably a storyteller. I wasn't here for her sermons, but I bet you she's a storyteller. If I were a real storyteller, I would not be preaching today. Or actually, I'd be preaching, but my sermon would be just this story of Abram. I'd sit in a chair down there by the font. I think I would begin with "Once Upon a Time." And I would pull you into the story so that you could imagine Abram tired after a long day. And it's night, and God comes to him in a vision, and they have a conversation. God promises Abram that he will have many descendants, and Abram says, "Are you sure? I'm getting older, and I don't have my own son. Are you sure you're going to keep this promise?" And instead of being offended, instead of saying, "Well, I'm God and what I say goes," instead of him saying, "Abram, just get over your doubt already," he says, "Abram, come outside with me." And once they're outside the tent, God says, "Look up. Can you see the stars? Can you count them? Just try for a minute. That's how big I'm going to keep this promise. And the story goes on, and Abram gathers some animals and cuts them in half, and there seems to be a ritual for those who are making covenants. As I read through some of this commentary on this week, people didn't necessarily all agree. But in general, it seems that there's a ritual, if I'm going to make a covenant with you, that we walk among severed animals, and we basically say to one another, if I break my promise, this is my fate. And if you break your promise, this is your fate. But Abram doesn't walk among the animals. Abram isn't promising anything. He goes to bed. And a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch pass between these severed animals. God moves in the form, in this vision, in this experience, in the form of a fire pot and a flaming torch. And God takes the promise walk. God does the covenant action or ritual. And it says, on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. And all I can think about is baptism. In baptism, God promises us that we are claimed forever. And yes, we do make promises in that, right? We promise to be raised or to raise people in the life of the church, live among God's faithful people. We promise to teach and learn and live by the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments. But when we break our promises, and we will because we do, the covenant of baptism is not broken. It's a weird image for us, but if we imagine the scene in the Abram story where the fire pot and the flaming torch are God, walking among the animals, where God makes the promise and enters into the covenant with Abram while Abram's sleeping, we're the ones in the tent. We're the ones receiving a promise, receiving a covenant. And we know that we're not perfect and we will fail, but God's love will not fail. The God of all that is seen and unseen, the God of all creation, the God who promised a Messiah and then came as a Messiah. The God that keeps promises has made us a promise at the font. And your and my pride or addiction or anger, our grudges or gluttony, our illnesses, our poverty, our fear, our inability to fear or trust or believe, they have nothing to say about whether God will keep his promise. So what God has promised to those of us who live on this side of the resurrection, it's pretty remarkable, because every week we actually taste a promise. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. The sin, your sin, is not your Lord, God is. Your shame is not your Lord, God is. Your fear is not your Lord. The God who is love and life and light is your Lord. And this Lord promises some things: to be with us till the end of the age, to be present in many and varied ways in the life of the church. And in the end, as Linda and I spoke on the phone the other night about her sister, and in the end, the promise is to gather us in, safe from all sin, all cancer, to live forever in unity with all creation that has been restored to its wholeness and life. It is so good to be in covenant with a God who just claims us, and that the covenant does not rest on our ability to keep it. It is good to be in covenant and relationship with God, and it is the truest thing in our lives. Thanks be to God.